Around our home, there are just some general responsibilities that I have and some that Carmen has. One of those things that kind of falls into her, and none of these things are written down, mind you, but one of the things that kind of falls into her category is emptying the dishwasher. But every once in a while, because I'm a pretty amazing guy, I think, you know, I'm going to empty the dishwasher for her. But I've kind of learned that what you need to do when you're unloading the dishwasher is you kind of clank the plates together. Like, you don't want to break them, but you definitely want to make sure that when she's not in the room, she knows what you're doing. And if you don't get her attention with that, you can always take the silverware and you kind of rattle it as you're taking it over to the drawer. And so it kind of lets her know that, oh my gosh, he is so amazing. Now, one of the things that is on my kind of responsibility is the lawn. But oftentimes I'm just out there doing that by myself, but I can come back inside and I can be looking out the window while she's in the room and just say, man, the lawn looks really good right now. And here's what I'm like, talk to me about how good the lawn is looking right now. Another thing is oftentimes I will go to her and I will say, what is the best way to wash this shirt? And what I want her to understand is like, this is amazing. He does all of his own laundry. Husbands, I don't want to put you under the pile, but I do all of my own laundry. But every once in a while, I want a little affirmation about it. So I'll ask her, how do you wash something that's like this? When I serve, what I hate about me is that oftentimes in my heart, I want to be noticed. I want to be appreciated. You know, sometimes actually, I just even want to be applauded. But what I hate is that I make it about me. And that's what I hate about me. But when I look at the life of Jesus, Jesus modeled a life that was willing to serve other people. And what I love about Jesus is that he made it really clear to us that the way we serve people, the way we love, bless, and serve people is actually central to his redemptive mission in the world. Every week I've told you that Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he invites us to be a part of that with him. He wants to live his life through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was his invitation to those first disciples. He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. I will use you to bring people into my kingdom. And today what I want us to understand is that one of the ways that Jesus wants us to do that, is by how we serve. This whole series, we've been talking about this idea of that Jesus, his strategy, God's strategy from the very beginning was a bless strategy. That God wants to be a blessing in our lives so that we will be a blessing into the lives of others. We're blessed to be a blessing, not to be a container for the things that God gives us, but to be a conduit of those things. And one of the ways that we do that is by the way that we serve. And Jesus also said this when he talked about why the Son of Man came. Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He's saying, it's not about me, but to serve. It's about them and to give his life as a ransom for many. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus talked about why he came, he put this idea of being a servant and being a savior in the same sentence. He didn't come just as a savior. He came as a servant savior. Two roles in the same sentence. And here's what I think is powerful about this series, and the thing that I want us to get in our mind is oftentimes we talk about the message of Jesus, the things that he taught, the things that he spoke, and those things are inspired and divine. But I think also what is inspired and divine is the methods of Jesus. Not just his message, but also his methods. How did he do the things that he did? Because a question that I have is if Jesus were me, if Jesus were living his life through me, how would he want to love his neighbors? How would he bless the people that are in my world? How would he love and serve them? But make no doubt, he would serve them. And I want us to look at some principles that Jesus has highlighted in his life and ministry in terms of how he did things. We're gonna look at a story from John chapter 13. It's kind of a famous story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. But what I want us to do is I want us to step back and I want us to think about how Jesus did the things that he did and why he did the things that he did. To give you just a little bit of context for where we step into John 13, this is the Passover meal. They've gathered together to celebrate the Passover meal. We often call this meal the Last Supper, but they didn't know that it was gonna be the Last Supper, but Jesus knew that it was gonna be the Last Supper. And so it's been a long day. They've been doing lots of ministry. The streets have been crowded. People have been pressing toward the life of Jesus. And they come into this room, just Jesus and the 12, and they gather around the table. And then they all get to one side of the table so that Da Vinci can paint a picture of them really quick. No, they didn't paint a picture, but they all came in and they gathered around the table one by one. And in this room, on a wall, there's a towel for washing feet. And there's a pitcher of water and a basin for feet to be washed. It was customary in their culture that someone would wash the feet. Normally, that was reserved for the lowest slave. Nobody in that room wanted to raise their hand and say, I think I'm the lowest in this group. And so nobody does anything. Nobody moves. And it's in this context that Jesus teaches us some amazing things about what it means to actually love and to bless and to serve people. As John tells this story in John 13, three times, he uses the two words, Jesus knew. There was something that Jesus knew, something that he understood about serving. And if we are gonna be like Jesus, if we're gonna do the things that he did, serve the way that he did, we've got to know and understand those things as well. So that phrase used three times is gonna serve as our outline for this message. And the first part is this. In the kingdom of Jesus, we serve when it is inconvenient for us. We serve when it is inconvenient for us. John chapter 13, starting in verse 1. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew. Here's the first time. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now it says that Jesus is going to the Father. We understand the story. He is going to the Father through a Roman execution. Now, nobody at the table understands that, but Jesus knows that very, very well. Here's how I think about serving. When I have a lot going on in my life, I promise you, I am less likely to be aware of the needs of other people in the room, and I am more likely to just be aware of the things that are going on in my life, my needs. Because I get busy, I get stressed, I get distracted, preoccupied. And as soon as that happens, the needs of others get smaller and smaller. I just get tunnel vision. And the only thing that I can see is my needs. What do I want? What do I need? Now, I would probably never verbalize this, but in my mind, I'm just thinking, don't bother me right now. I've got so much going on. Get out of my way. You take care of you. I need to take care of me right now. Let's think about Jesus. If there was ever a moment in the life of Jesus when it would have been very appropriate, probably for him to say, hey guys, could you quit thinking about yourself and not wanting to wash feet? And could you focus on me a little bit? I am about ready to give my life for the sake of the world, to pay the penalty for sin of the world. It would be very reasonable for Jesus to want the focus to be on himself because he is facing the cross. And here's the deal, friends. So many times when we think about what Jesus did on the cross, we tend to focus on the physical pain and the torture of a Roman execution, which is horrible and grotesque. But when we look at the account of Jesus, during all of that, he didn't say a thing. But there was a time when he cried out on the cross. And it wasn't about the physical pain. It was the spiritual pain. It was the separation from God. When he, in his body and in his soul, he took on the wrath of the Father for the payment of sin of the world. When he took that on himself, it was then that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Jesus is going to walk through in 24 hours. But even though he's going through that, even though it would be so appropriate for him to say, guys, focus on me, what does he do? He focuses on them. Hours before his death, what is on the mind of Jesus is singular. He wants them to know and to understand how much he loves them. That's what it says in verse 1. He showed them the full extent of his love by loving them to the very bitter end. He wants them to know that they are known and loved. And so even in that moment, friends, just think about this. Jesus' hands, he knows in 24 hours, these hands are gonna be run through with nails onto a Roman cross. In 24 hours, these hands are gonna ultimately be cold and lifeless. This is not a convenient time for Jesus. But even in that moment, Jesus chooses to kneel before these men and to do something for them that none of them were willing to do for him or for each other. Jesus is trying to help them understand. In my kingdom, Jesus says, we serve even when it's inconvenient for us, even when we believe that we're the ones that should be served. Secondly, in the kingdom of Jesus, we serve regardless of our status. John chapter 13, continuing in verse 2. It says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Here again, John says it. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. What did Jesus know? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. What does Jesus know? He knows that in this room, he is the most important person in the room. And just for argument's sake, not just the most important person in that room, he is the most important person in the universe. What is his response with that status? John tells us, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. That's not how the world works, is it? Our world tells us that as you increase in status, what that means is that there are more people out there to serve you. When we grow in financial status, that means that we can even afford to pay people to do the things that maybe we don't want to do. You can pay people to serve you. Vocationally, when we grow in our status, when we move up the org chart, what that means is that there are more people underneath you on the org chart. People whose jobs it is, willing to serve you and serve your purposes. That's how our world works. And when we grow in relational status in this world, when we become more popular, people are way more likely, way more willing to want to serve you with their life. As your status grows, your opportunity to be served grows. But that's not the kingdom. And Jesus wants us to understand that will never be his kingdom. In his kingdom, everything is turned upside down. When you increase in status, all that means is that you have more opportunity to serve the people around you. Think about that status in that org chart. Jesus is saying, turn it upside down. It's not an org chart. It's just a funnel of people in and around your life that you have the opportunity to get to serve. Because Jesus will say over, it doesn't matter your status. And as you grow in status, you actually grow in the number of people that you have the opportunity to serve. That's why the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. None of this, friends, none of this is lost on Jesus. As he's sitting in that room, John makes it clear, he understands the power and authority that he has. He understands that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But it's in that moment, knowing who he is, that he actually chooses to take off that crown and set it to the side and instead pick up a serving towel that he wraps around his waist to show the men around him, this is what it means to live out the values of my kingdom. We serve regardless of our status. I just don't want to move on from this too quickly. We've got to think about the magnitude of this moment. Jesus, when we go to Colossians 1, Paul tells us in Colossians 1 that Jesus created all things, and in him, all things hold together. What is Paul saying? He created everything and he sustains everything in this world. He is powerful. There is no one higher, no one with more power than him. Think about this. The voice of Jesus is the voice as the creator that spoke and created all that we see in this universe. His voice, and now that voice sits before those that follow him, and he teaches them what it means, how to use your voice in this life for others. And his hands, just think about this, his hands that hold this world together, that sustain everything, his hands are now covered with dirt and dung as he washes and massages the grossness out of the feet of the disciples. God of the universe in the flesh is doing that. The scripture also tells us that there will be a time when every knee above the earth, on the earth, below the earth, every knee will bow before Jesus and confess he is Lord. But in this moment, Jesus shows us that even though everyone will kneel before him, he kneels. The one with the crown kneels and chooses to serve and to wash the feet of his disciples. Jesus says, in my kingdom, we serve. We serve people. That's how we love and we bless people, is by serving them, regardless of our status, regardless of where we're at on this world's org chart. And lastly, Jesus says this, in the kingdom of Jesus, we serve people who don't deserve it. We serve people who don't deserve it. Verse 10, Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For here it is again. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone was clean. That's not how this world works. When we think about who we might serve in this world, we often filter it down through, who do I think deserves it? Who deserves me sacrificing for them? And sometimes we filter it through, who are the people in this world that I can serve them, and there's the possibility that they can serve me back? That's how this world works. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But Jesus is saying, that's not how my kingdom works. In my kingdom, we serve people that have no possibility of being able to pay us back. And in this context, we see Jesus is willing to serve dramatically with people who we know have failed us and are going to fail us. Isn't this interesting to think? Think about this. Jesus knelt before his betrayer. He knew. He already knew what Judas had done, but he still knelt before him and with the same eyes of love washes his feet just like all the other disciples. That's not how this world works, but that's how the kingdom of Jesus works. We love and we bless and we serve people, even people that don't deserve it. And if we look at the teachings of Jesus closely, it's beyond even that. He actually tells us to love and to serve our enemies. We love and to serve those people who oppose us in this life, that actually stand against us. He still tells us that you love and you bless and you serve. Isn't that crazy? This isn't a world that says, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Jesus is saying, I scratch your back, even though I know that you are gonna stab me in my back. He says that to Judas, and yet he serves him anyway. Jesus raises the bar of who we serve beyond our comprehension. And there's something powerful that I believe that is communicated when we serve somebody. When we serve somebody, it communicates you have value. You have worth. You have dignity, not based on what you've done, based on who God says you are. You are valuable. That means that you're worth my time. You're worth my energy and my effort. You're worth my money. Sometimes it takes money to serve people. You are worth my love. Actually, you are worth my life. We are just extending to people what Jesus extends to us. The way we've been blessed, we are a blessing because Jesus looks at us and he says, you have value. You have worth. You have dignity. Jesus says to us, you're worth my time. You're worth my effort. You're worth sacrificing the things of this world. You're worth my love and you are even worth my life. When we serve, friends, we are just extending to people what God has extended to us, even if they don't deserve it. And I think this is a little bit interesting is when I've read this story so many times, I feel like I just tend to focus on Judas because Judas was the betrayer. But here's the truth. Of the 24 feet that Jesus washed at that Last Supper, zero of those 24 feet are gonna be following him in 24 hours. Every one of them will have scattered. Yes, Judas betrayed, but the 2 feet of Peter, he is gonna curse and deny Jesus. And the rest of them, all the other feet are gonna run. All they have to see is that Roman sword and they run. None of them is gonna be following their rabbi. None of them is gonna be coming to his defense. But here's what Jesus wants them to know. I kind of imagine that maybe Jesus realizes that the next day they might be looking at their feet, head dropped in shame, remembering what Jesus had done, remembering that they had betrayed, denied, and deserted. And in that moment, Jesus doesn't want them to wonder. Doesn't want them to wonder 1 minute, do I still love you? This story about washing, it is way more than just washing dirt from feet. Jesus wants to erase doubt from their hearts. I know you. I knew what you were gonna do. Judas, I knew. Peter, I knew. Everyone else, I knew you were gonna run, but I still chose to serve you. I know you and I love you. And that's not how this world works. It is so counter to the way that this world works. But that's the message I believe that Jesus wanted etched on the hearts of his disciples. Know that you are known. Know that you are loved. But Jesus wants to make sure that they understand what he did. And he wants us to understand what he did. And I feel like there's always a place in a sermon where we've got to look at the life, the message, and the methods of Jesus, and we have to turn the spotlight on our own life. Do we get it? Are we willing to live out the kind of life that Jesus lived? John 13 and verse 12, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you them, you us, you me, all of us, you. Where was I at? Teacher, and rightly, that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus saying, my methods, what you see me doing, that's what I'm asking you to do for each other, for the world. Serve when it's inconvenient for us, when we don't have time, when we don't have energy, when we want the world to be focused on us. Jesus saying, even in those moments, we focus on others. We focus on people when it's not our job. It's not my responsibility. We serve. Jesus served, even though he was the greatest, had the greatest status in the world. He chose to serve. And we serve even those that don't deserve it. People that fail us. People that oppose us. People that are our enemies. Jesus says, love and serve them. It's our turn, friends. If that's what Jesus did, he is asking us to do the exact same thing. Our king took off his crown and picked up a serving towel and loved and served. So my question for me and my question for you is, what do we need to set down, set to the side in order to pick up a serving towel in our life? What do you need to put down? Is it how you guard your time, your life, and your energy? Do you need to set that down to create the opportunity to love and to serve your neighbors? Do you need to set down your pride? Do you feel like there's things and ways that this world needs to be served, or people that are in your sphere of influence that need to be served, and you're just above that? That's not my job. Do you need to set that down? Do you need to set down your convenience? It's just hard. It takes time and energy and effort. It's not convenient to serve people. It wasn't convenient for Jesus, and it won't be convenient for us. But Jesus invites us to do it anyway. Are we willing to lay down our money? Sometimes the things that people need us to serve them in require us to leverage our resources in order to serve them in the ways that they need to be served. Are we willing to lay those things down? I want us to get really specific. From the very beginning of this series, I asked you to begin to think about, are there 10 people in your sphere of influence that you feel like God would want you to see how you can bless them, love them and bless them by serving them? What could you do for those 10 people? How would Jesus serve those 10 people if he was in your shoes? Here's what I want you to do. I want to kind of raise the bar, at least in my mind, on what it means to serve people. I don't want you to just think randomly, like, hey, what could I do that would be nice for this person? I don't want you to serve in a way that you think they should be served. I want you to serve them in a way that they think that they should be served? What is it that they need in this life? What is it that they need in this world? How do we know that? How would we ever know what the deepest needs of people's life are? All the other things that we've talked about, that we begin to pray and to ask God to highlight things in our life, that we would actually take time to ask questions and listen to people, listen to the things that are happening in their life, that we would take time to eat with them, that they would be a part of our life and our world. If we start to do those things, we will hear from them their deepest needs and their deepest longings, and that's what Jesus wants us to move into. Not what you think the way they should be served, how do they think they should be served? What is it that they tell you? Jesus was the master of this. And I want to highlight this again. I mentioned it last week. When Jesus had a blind man come to him, a blind man, it's so obvious what it was that he would have wanted. But when he comes up, this is what the text says. It says, when he came near, and he meaning the blind man, when the blind man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He didn't assume. And the man says, Lord, I want to see. We find out what people want, what people need, the way that they need to be served in our life and in the people that are in our influence when we engage personally with them. This is not something that we can do at a distance. None of these things that we've talked about so far can be done at a distance. It has to be done up close and personal and in their life. And maybe another way to say it is I'm not asking you to do some kind of random act of kindness in the life of another person. I want you to do an intentional act of kindness that's intended and understood by what it is that they need. I mean, you can just give someone a plate of cookies, and I don't want to poo-poo on that. That could be great. But what is it that they tell you that they need? What are the deepest longings of their heart? And here's what I think we've got to get a hold of. This isn't just about being do-gooders. This is up here because serving people is central to the mission of Jesus. Why? Why is serving someone so important? Here's what I believe to be true, is that when we serve someone, it requires them to receive grace from us. Grace just means simply doing something that is undeserved. It's undeserved kindness. It's not your job. It's not convenient, but you do it. It is God's grace. It is grace in us. Grace is the currency of heaven. If we don't understand how to receive grace, how to extend grace, we will never understand how to relate to God, because he relates to his people on the basis of grace. And I want to look at another snapshot in this picture, because Peter doesn't get it. He does not understand grace. He does not understand allowing Jesus to do something for him. And he's missing this piece of heaven coming to earth. Let's listen to what Jesus says with Peter. Verse 6, it says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, you're gonna wash my feet? Again, this is just Peter saying that he understands this whole serving thing that Jesus is doing right now. It is so upside down. There's somebody that should be doing this, but it shouldn't be Jesus. It's completely upside down. But Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. See, what Peter didn't realize was that this act of grace, this act of undeserved kindness, it paled in comparison to what was going to happen 24 hours later, where Jesus, again, he was going to set down his crown. But this time, instead of picking up a serving towel, he was going to pick up a Roman cross. And Jesus saying, Peter, it's a bigger deal. Peter, this isn't just about washing dirt from feet. This is about washing sin from souls. And you've got to know how to receive grace. Because Peter, if you don't know, understand how to receive the grace of God, you'll never understand what I've done for you. You'll never understand how to enter into eternity with me. We enter based only on the grace of God. And it's when we, as followers of Jesus, allow him to live his life through us, and we start to extend grace to people on a small, tiny way. It's a taste of heaven. It's a taste of what is to come. It's a taste of how the world should be. It's a taste of God's kingdom. Just imagine, what would the world be like if every person living in this world saw the world the way that Jesus did and was willing to serve one another when it was inconvenient, when it wasn't my job, when it was someone that actually doesn't deserve it? What if everybody did that? Man, this world would be a different place. Yeah, it would be like heaven. It would be like kingdom coming to this earth. And that's what Jesus wants us to grab a hold of. When we serve, it's like bringing a little taste of heaven to this earth. But here's what it takes. Three things that it's going to take for you to love and to bless and to serve like Jesus. One is, it takes proximity. Saying it again, you've got to be close to people. You've got to be a friend to people. Because a friend is just simply someone that knows somebody and loves them. You can't do any of these things unless you allow people to be known and to be loved by you. And I'm just gonna say this, I don't believe that it is an accident where you are in your life and the spheres of influence that you have. I don't think it's an accident, the neighborhood that you live in. I don't. I don't think it's an accident where you work and the coworkers that you have. I don't think it's an accident, the family that you were born into. I don't think it's an accident, the friend group that you have, the classmates that you have, the teammates that you have. None of that is an accident. God, by design, has you in that place to be his representative to them, to extend his grace to them. And we do that by loving and blessing and serving, but we've got to be up close to people. A second thing, it takes power. And when I say power, I'm talking about the power of God. When Jesus loved and served people, he was God and had access to the power of the Father, and he prayed over people. That power and authority that he had in the Great Commission, it says, all power and authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. What it means is, go in my power, in my authority, in my name. How do we do that? How do we love and bless and serve people like that? We pray for them. We pray for the things that are happening. We access God's power and ask it to be leveraged into their life. If someone that you want to bless is sick, pray that God would heal them. If someone that you want to bless is shackled by some kind of addiction in their life, pray by God's grace that he would break that addiction in their life. If there's someone in your life that you want to bless and there's a broken, unreconciled relationship in their life, pray. Ask God, the one who knows how to reconcile, ask God to do that for them. We have access to the power of God. And we have access to a question, the ultimate question: can I pray for you? What do you need? I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and she was talking about what she does when she comes in to an environment like this. When she shows up on Sunday, she just asks that God would highlight someone in her mind. And when she feels like God has highlighted someone in her mind, she goes and talks to them. Whether she knows them or not, she goes up and talks to them, and she simply asks them, how can I pray for you? And she just, as she describes, it's just amazing the things that happen. Sometimes people are saying, nobody's ever asked me that before. Sometimes people will just start weeping. Friends, we can serve. And that's just what's happening. What would it be like in here if that's how we engaged with each other? That we would just regularly, how can I pray for you? How can I call on God's power for you? How would that change our environment? It would change. It would change our church. But you know what? The same thing would change if we were out there doing that in the world, asking people, how can I pray for you? Inviting the power of God into their life and into this world. The last thing, the last P is promise. I think as we close, I want us to focus on the promise of Jesus. Because I know what can happen. I know that even as I've started to reflect on the people that God has in my life that I want to love and to bless and to serve, it can just get overwhelming sometimes. It's like, how am I gonna do all that? And sometimes I can just say, it just feels like a burden. It just feels heavy. How am I gonna do this? We've gotta remember, it's not a burden. And we will be blessed. I wanna read John 13:17, how Jesus closed that section. He says, now that you know these things, all these things that I know about serving, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. God's strategy, it's always been a bless strategy. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing, so you can pour out into the lives of others. But here's his promise. I believe we can take Jesus at his word. His promise is, as we give out, he will pour back in. He will bless us as we seek to bless others. And as I've reflected on that, here's one reason why I believe that this is true. People that I know in this world that live this out and live it out consistently, they are some of the most happy people I know. They're full of joy. It's not a burden. They are blessed. But you know who some of the most miserable people are that I know in this world? The people that everything is turned on them. Everything is focused on them. I believe we can take Jesus at his word. If we do these things, we will be blessed. And here's what I love. If we do these things, it will change the world, but it will also change us. We can take that to the bank. Let's pray. Jesus, I feel like every time I study this and hold my life up to how you did what you did, I just feel overwhelmed at the magnitude of what you did and the magnitude of all that I need to do to grow, to be like you. But Jesus, I do believe that you want to live your life through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask that for me. I ask that for my friends that are in this room. I ask that for those that are watching online and anyone that ever hears my voice in the future. I pray over them that you would give us the confidence to believe that as we bless others, we also will be blessed. The world will be changed, Jesus, but you will change us as well. Jesus, thank you for the privilege of getting to be your spokespeople in this world, to bring your grace, your kindness, your love, and your blessing, and your serving to this world. Jesus, thank you for choosing us to do that. We accept that. We accept that responsibility gladly. And it's in your powerful and resurrected name that we say thank you. And all God's people said, amen.